Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage: it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning. It's Willard Sapriston.
And Peter Greco.
It is Saturday, December 29th, 2018, the last Saturday of 2018. We are the Dollar Doctors. We are brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management. Securities offered through Brighton Securities of Rochester, New York, FINRA, SIPC, MSRB. Give us a ring at 716-803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541, or leave us a question at the chat room, which is at our website, Sapriston, SAPERSTON.com. And then you hit the drop down for the Dollar Doctor Show.
Then live streaming.
Then what?
At the bottom of the page.
Go to the bottom of the page, and there's a little thing, what's your question? And we'll talk about your stocks. Right now we're live. Call us. 716-803-1520. We're also rebroadcast at midnight on this station, ESPN 1520-21, and you can hear us then, and or you can listen to our shows archived if you just can't get enough of us on the website by date, and that's fun.
And right now, phone lines, as usual, wide open. Best time to give us a call. And I think we do have something supposedly on the chat box from 4 hours ago.
If I could read.
And you have to go to the chat box, which is at the end over there. But Willard, again, didn't bring his right glasses.
Correct. And so I'm hugging the screen.
So any analysis he does today, be very careful.
Peter said it would be better.
Right.
AbbVie. There you go, ABBV.
ABBV.
I was looking at that, and I buy and CTC.
And so write those down.
What do you think of AbbVie? You want to look at the chart?
Well, take a look at the chart. They're supposed to be a great company, supposedly.
I did look at Thursday night, and it's just hard for me to deal with retailers. And I'm assuming that's what I buy
in. I don't know. It's in this weekend's Barron's. Some mutual fund that guy says that's the place to buy. He also said to buy energy, which was interesting.
Well, AbbVie, we have been in and out of from time to time. We liked it. It has had a breakout close around 90, 91 and a fraction. And has good relative strength. It has a nice dividend, 4%. As I recall, it's about a $20 billion company.
No, it's one of the top companies.
Yeah. And they do a lot of things in the biotech field.
Exactly. And what's the target on it right now?
Oh, the target
based on the point and figure chart.
99.
And where is it now?
90.
But, you know, it looks like it made a bottom, you know, and then, you know, made a lower bottom. And if it takes out, what's the previous high?
Well, the previous high is 94.
Yeah, so you go to 95, and that it'd be a higher high, and that it'd be very bullish for it. So I think it looks interesting. Potentially, you know, you might dip your toes in the water, and, you know, if it dropped under that recent low, which was back at
82, and then there's a real low one at 79.
Yeah.
78, 79.
Yeah, but 82, you know, below 82, then you might say when we'd be a reevaluate.
So you're a buy at 91 and a stop at 82, or at least look at it.
Well, reevaluated at that point, yeah. But yeah, it looks potentially interesting. And if you drew a down trend line, it might have broken it, you know. So
it might have,
it's very close. It's very close. So definitely, not definitely, nothing's definite.
There you go. Do your own research. Forgot about that part.
Got to remember to say that, you know, because we got people listening to us.
That's
you know,
right.
But anyway, but if you did go to what we say, 95, you said it would take out that high.
Yeah. I mean, if you were a buy and stopper,
if
anyone knows what that means, you'd put a buy and stop at 95.
Yeah. So that looks potentially interesting there. What's our next one there? Yeah. Looks interesting.
Now, the next one is CTC.
Sounds like Century. Is that Century? No, I don't know what that is. No, that isn't. I don't know what CTC is.
And I think it's the wrong symbol. Let's move on to iBuy, which is an ETF.
You sure it was CTC?
No, I'm going to go back.
Okay, but anyway.
Let's motor along here because I wanted to look at iBuy anyways. It's a retail, right? It had a high of 54 this year. A low of 37.5. It's at 40.5, close at 39.95. All kinds of overhead supply at 41. And it has in it, because I thought, well, this would be a good way to play retailing.
Mm-hmm. What holdings you looking
at? Well,
the
five largest holdings are Lands' End, TripAdvisor, Wayfair, Etsy, Copart. It is 88% in New York State. More names are Nutrisystems, eBay, Stamps.com, PayPal, Stitch Fix, Amazon, et cetera. How's that?
Well, it's interesting because it did reverse off a low.
Yeah.
And aggressive buyer would have been in on that reversal with a stop under the recent low. So it's
at 37.
Yeah, so and if you've done your research and you feel there's this is a strong company that's just been slaughtered.
Well, is it a strong area?
Yeah,
is my question.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's a little safer than buying the individual stock that could.
Yeah,
many have gone down. 50%.
It's diversified, so if you've looked into it and you feel it's a good area too to be in, an aggressive buyer would have been in. And like we said, the stop was where on the thing you said,
37. The end of the world.
Reevaluated. So,
but all kinds of overhead supply.
Yeah, I agree. 41. But there's going to be a lot of stocks with overhead supply. So does it mean you don't buy any of it?
See where it broke out back here?
Yep,
it came right back there and turned.
Yep. Right. So it came down off what would have been a logical support area. And I think, as I mentioned last week, support's only good if the buyers are still there. So,
yeah, reiterated that in our investment meeting last week, too.
Exactly. And I said, theoretically.
I thought to myself, he's just not friendly.
No, I also said the sharpest rallies, if it's a bear market, happen in a bear market.
Yeah, and the next day we went up 1,000
points. Went up 1,000 points.
And I thought, that's a sharp rally.
Interesting, but anyway. So right now,
803-1520 or 800-879-7541. We're going to go back and look at.
Go take a look at the chat box. Was it CTC?
It was CTC.
Okay, so I have
wrong
no
symbol,
idea.
Whatever it was.
So whoever put that in the chat box, and once again, the chat box, if you go to saperston.com, saperston.com, and you click on the Dollar Doctor tab and live streaming pops up, click on live streaming, go to the bottom of the page, you can type in a symbol, ask a question. Now, if you do type in a symbol, let us know whether you're looking to buy, looking to sell, just something you're holding, and we can make the analysis based on that. So either try the chat box, but we would like to talk to you, so give us a call, 803-1520 or toll free, 800-879-7541.
Now, I was told that the S&P had a long tail down reversal. How's that?
That's true.
And that is
For those people who use candlestick charts,
yeah, it's a there it is. Yeah. Right?
That's right. But you also will see it, you know. And, you know, it was a wild week in the market, to say the least. And it's kind of interesting, though. Years ago, you know, you didn't have 1,000-point rallies, but it was never. a 5% rally was big, yeah. You know, believe me, in a day. And in this market, I said, you know, I didn't get excited. So it's 1,000 points, you know. So next day it could be down 1,000 points. Who knows, you know. So.
And it was in the morning that it ended up again.
Yeah. And then Thursday was really a wild day, you know, where the market was up a few hundred points, dropped down the down 600 points. And
yeah,
then,
I was on with a client, and she said, how are we doing? I said, well, we're up 200. And she said, well, that's why I don't want to have so much cash. And then it was a five-minute conversation. At the end of the conversation, we were down 300. So I told her, this is what's going on. I'm not sure. But yeah, if you don't have cash, as Howard Ewart said, you can't take advantage of any opportunities.
And I think at one point then it was down 680,
yeah.
Ended up 200 and something. It was like an 870-point swing in a couple hours, you know. So just another amazing day. It was nice to have an up week in the market, you know, after that disastrous
drubbing.
Week.
Yeah, drubbing. It was a Merry Christmas Eve.
Yeah, that's for sure. That was just unbelievable.
716-803-1520. We're live on ESPN 1520, The Dollar Doctor, Saturday, December 29th, 2018 at 10:15, or 800-879-7541.
That's interesting, too, because in this weekend's Barron's, you know, there's a little, not a little column, there's a column that says, if this isn't a bear market, what is it? And, you know, when I have time, he starts out by saying, welcome to the zombie market, one that's neither bull nor bear, neither quick nor cold. Instead, investors stumble around in a stupor, as they have for the past 2 weeks, arms outstretched, feeding on the latest bit of stray economic nourishment.
I like the word stupor. I forgot about that word, and I do a lot of reading. It's a good
exactly.
Word.
The zombie market.
Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Willard and Peter.
Good morning.
Thank you for giving up your time during the holiday season.
Well, it's all right.
With all the good advice. Two stocks, possible buys. One mm-hmm. is what's new with AT&T, if anything.
Well, I'm looking at a telephone. I looked the other day. It was at 28. It's still close to 28.5. The chart is not exciting. I bought it for a client, I think at 32, at 30, at 29, and now I've got an order in at 25 or 26 because you're in previous support. I've heard all kinds of bad things about it in terms of their debt.
That's what I was going to ask about. I noticed that in doing some research. They have a high debt.
Well, if you look at the chart, you wouldn't necessarily think it's any good.
Okay.
But you would see a bottom from 2009-ish in the 22 to 24 area. And it doesn't mean it goes there, so you do your own research. But the way I do it is I buy a little, or as Howard Ewart did, he used to say, I bought one at 32. That means 100 shares. I bought another at 30 and another at 28, like that.
Okay.
And then when and if they turned a few years down the road, he made his most money because he had the largest positions. But it had to be a company we know and love, a blue-chip company that was just having trouble.
And the other thing, too, you're looking at this as more or less a longer-term investment?
Yeah.
So, you know, because I know somebody called last week, and I said, you know, you could buy a little. It could go to 27 or so. I don't know if it hit 27. And that's another potential to add a little bit on. So you're in an area where if you want to nibble, you could nibble, you know.
Okay. The second one is possible buy United Rental. URI.
I haven't looked at that in a while.
URI, that was Dennis's favorite.
That was Dennis's
yeah.
favorite.
You ever hear from Dennis anymore?
Once the winter comes, I think he goes to Florida.
Okay.
And you don't hear from him.
Well, we have an 800 number.
I don't know. He's out golfing.
So URI this year was at 190, comes down to 144, goes up to 174, in October and then drops all the way down to 95 and reverses with overhead supply between 108 and 118. I mean, if you buy it, it closed at 101. You would think of stopping it at 94.
Okay.
So you'd have a 6% drop, right?
Yeah. And you did have a reversal, you know, so yeah. Once again, an aggressive buyer.
You would never buy it without a reversal. Yeah. And I was telling that to someone last week. Wait for the reversal because they can keep going down. And without a reversal, you don't even have a chance of having had a bottom.
Yeah. And when, you know, once you've had the reversal, you know where the low was and you can decide what you want to do at that point. But you know they're a very good company, and you know they're very cyclical, obviously, you know, in terms of the movement of the stock. You get some wild swings. It could be interesting, you know, to nibble a little, you know.
Now, you also know you've probably got the last of tax loss selling on Monday, so if the market wants to rebound, it probably happens after the last day of the year.
Monday.
And you know, people that have losses, this is certainly one. If you bought it at 188, could take a loss on, right?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks for calling, and have a happy new year.
You too.
Okay.
All
take
right.
care.
Give us a ring. We're live Saturday, December 29th, 2018 at 1020, and that is 716-803-1520 or 800-879-7541. Good morning, Art.
Good morning, fellas. Did you get my thing in the chat box saying I'd be giving you a ring and happy and healthy New Year?
I did. We saw that. Yeah, very definitely.
There's no stock symbol. Of course, I know the stocks you want to look at, like IMMU.
Well, no, I'm up to speed on that thing. I got your note. And then there was another thing in the posted on the internet that they were getting a joint venture with some other person, which buoyed it up a little bit.
But yeah. did you see the lawsuits against the company for them
falsifying? I had brought that up last week. I sent him a link.
Right.
Is that what they call that?
Yeah.
But it was
a link.
It was very, very, very good.
Off my phone at night when I'm in bed trolling through.
Oh, that's good. Okay, you must sleep by yourself then, right?
Exactly. Well, I got the dog on the bed, so I'm not totally alone.
Okay, very good. The one stock that I hold that I'd be interested in today is, technically anyway, the Zimmer, ZBH. It closed at 102.65. It was up 327 for the week, and I'm thinking maybe it's going to make a little bit of a run here.
It had a bottom at this 97 area recently, and also back, I think around... either at the end of last year or the beginning of this year.
Right.
And then from 97, it went to 134, 2, 3, 4 times. Now it came back to 97 on this recent sell-off. Excuse me. So Peter would say it's in a range between 97 and 134, and you're at the bottom of the range.
Yeah, we're at 102.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Second item question I have is on, I've been tracking the WTI and the VIX, on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And the VIX seems to be holding up around 29, 30 all during the week. Is that any kind of a measure usually of these 100-point or 200-point jumps in the Dow?
Well, I mean, it's a volatility measure, you know. So obviously, as the market gets more volatile, you know, it jumps way up. And actually, to tell you the truth, it hit 36 last week.
Wow. And it trades on the Chicago Board of Exchange, does it, CBOE?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The things I've read say that you can't be at a market bottom until you get to about 35 on the VIX.
Right.
Well, you
got
to 36. I mean, I don't know what that means.
Sure.
And Peter can be.
And it has hit 180, you know, during one of the crashes, you know. And I think it hit a while back, 50, a couple of years ago.
Does it ever go down to like 10 or 12?
Oh, yeah. It was for a long time,
Yeah, it was at 12 bucks in October.
Can you make a meaningful trade with that by buying it low and selling it high, the VIX itself?
It's not easy to buy straight. You've got to buy the ETFs, which are futures driven. And
we've
had trouble buying futures driven ETFs because they generally reset them every night.
Mm-hmm.
So you may be right that the VIX goes up,
but
unlike a stock, the ETF for the VIX doesn't go up.
I see.
And we've had such things happened to us before.
Right, right.
So it's yes for a week. You can buy something
if
you're on the money, but if you
can't,
it's not a long-term hold, in my opinion.
Like if it hit 15, you couldn't buy it and wait for it to get to 40 again or 30 or something like that. For a long term, yeah.
Well, it depends. Is it leveraged? Are you talking about a leveraged?
Well, they're leveraged because of the futures.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, it's I guess it's be above my pay grade here on this. I just was interested in.
I don't think there's a buy it and hold it on, hold it for 3 years and wait. You know.
No.
Well, you know, you can't do that. No question about it. But you know, some people do play it when it gets to very, very low levels. You know, of course, it stayed at low levels for a long time. You know,
and it's that time value that's going to eat you up.
Yeah. The other item is not directly related to stocks, but for the gift tax you have. I know that you can give $15,000 to any one person in a calendar year without filing any kind of return. Is it much difficult if you want to put a large amount in? I know you have like a several million dollar total you can give. And do you have to file special tax returns for the
There's no tax to pay, but you ought to file a gift tax return.
Yeah. In other words, I'm
not an accountant, so, of course, check with.
And I have an accountant, but I thought I'd run it by
you. But you need you just want to go on record, so to speak.
Yeah. Because my niece has just bought a house, and she can use the money, and I can use it to give it to her. I'd be glad to. So if I put a large amount above $15,000, I'm sure I have to file something with the accountant, or the accountant will file something with me to show that.
Yeah. Now, you know what I was
it's
thinking
called
about?
Called a gift tax return.
That's what if at Christmas you buy your kid a car, right?
Right.
For a Christmas gift. Are you supposed
to
report that?
Above $15,000, yeah.
Really?
No, I'm saying if it's above $15,000, you got to file a gift tax return.
Interesting.
What you can do is just take a note back and do 15 at the end of December and 15 in January.
Yeah. See. Or if they're married, you give $7,500 or $8,000 to each of the person and their spouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you can give 15 to each.
Yeah, sure. That's what I meant. Yeah. I was thinking of a $15,000 car.
Right. Yep. If you can find one.
When we were kids, it was always $100 for a car like that, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, I keep seeing in the paper these crashes with these very small cars, like the smart cars and all.
Oh, God.
And one just went through an oil tanker on the Garden State, and the whole roof went off, and all four people were killed. Now, if they were driving the cars I drive, I have a 2000 Mercury and a 2011, huge Grand
Prix. Oh, yeah, monster car.
The people in the back would be alive.
Yep.
You know,
oh, yeah.
It's just ridiculous that these little tiny cars that collapse.
Yeah, I mean, I could never drive in that thing. I'd be nervous all the time.
Oh, you know, so. I had a guy turn on my block. He had the smart car, you know, the two-person.
Mm-hmm.
He got out of it. He was about 6'4". I don't know how the heck he was ever in it.
He's a contortionist. Contortionist.
Yeah, got up. Yeah. Well, it's great talking to you guys.
Okay.
Have a wonderful New Year now.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You too, Art.
Right. Take care.
Thanks very much. You are listening live to the Dollar Doctors, Willard Saperst and Peter Greco, brought to you by Saperst and Asset Management Securities, cleared through Brighton Securities, a Rochester member, FINRA, SIPC, MSRB, RIA. That's us. And go to our website, saperston.com, to listen to the archive shows, to leave a question on a stock you own or you're thinking of owning. And free economic research from Stern and McCarthy, but not this week. They're off till next week.
They took a break.
They take a break every Christmas to New Year's, as does Dave Rosenberg, Breakfast with Dave, his letter. They all take breaks, so it's like nothing's allowed to happen until they get back.
Exactly, but usually it does. Anyway, give us a call,
803-1520,
toll-free 800-879-7541, or go to our website, saperston.com, SAPERSTNTON.com. And there's a Dollar Doctor tab. Click on it. Live streaming comes up. Click on live streaming. Go to the bottom of the page. There's a chat box. You can type in a question or a symbol. And if you do put a symbol in, let us know whether you're looking to buy, sell, or you're just holding it.
Well, someone is sending us something on PayPal and Square. And Square is very interesting to me in terms of the story, anyway. Because at the farmer's market in Sarasota, which where I'd rather be than here, by the way, on Saturday morning, you go to buy something, and they all have this little SQ labeled plugged into their phone, and they will take your credit card with this. Yeah. And they don't have a cash register and all this baloney. And if you want a receipt, they take your email and they email you the receipt.
Yep.
That's what Square does.
Yep.
Plus, I think they do small loans and stuff. And that was started by the same guy, I forget his name, that started Twitter.
Twitter, right.
Yeah, yeah. So Square's been hovering around 50 and...
Down from
I think it got to 100.
Yeah, I think it was around 100, yeah. 50%.
50% means you have to double to go back. Square was at 102, so we're on the money there. And that was just October before the big crash. And now it got down to 50 and reversed, and it closed at 55. What's your opinion of that?
Well, I mean, you know, once again, you're buying a stock in a big downtrend. But, you know, once again, we always say do your own research. And if everything you looked at looks great, it did have the reversal. An aggressive buyer could have bought it on that reversal, which was up to what? Where did the $3 reversal?
$3 reversal was 53.
53. Before. And you would have a stop or reevaluation.
Yeah, so it's at 55. Yeah. You'd have a 10% stop at like 49.
49. Or, you know, that's a
reevaluation
point. Or reevaluate it, because it depends on what your approach is. If you're a long-time term investor, you might do, like Willard said, you know, you buy a little. And then if it
I love the story, but I've always gotten into trouble loving stories.
Well, there's certain people say never average down, you know, so who knows, you know. But it's a possibility for the aggressive investor. And there's a thing in the market that sometimes an interesting buy point is after something's dropped to the 50% retrace pullback.
And then you hope it goes halfway back.
If it's lost 50% of its value, that's another point, you know, where you could start taking a look.
So it lost 50% but goes halfway back, you're at 75, it was at $50.
Right.
And that's the downtrend line.
Exactly.
So logically that might make sense.
It's a possibility, right.
Now the other one was PayPal in a similar business, but of course they do bigger things than these little things at the market or little things like that.
And it's held up, I think, a lot better than Square did.
You know, PayPal got down to 76. It closed at 82. And the high has been 93. So I don't know that you have as much potential profit if someone was to be right. All of these are good. I mean, Visa and MasterCard are in the same business.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they've all had the same kind of bottom and turnaround.
But I could say, you know, it's been, it's now looks like it's setting up a big, big trading range, you know.
Between 93 and 77-ish.
Right. And it could be even a little bit lower. What is it off to the left there about what?
It's 71.
Yeah. So say the 70s to what? The 90s.
To the
right?
mid-90s. Mid-70s,
right. Mid-90s. So, you know, it's had a reversal. And
you'd stop it at 74-ish.
Exactly. Yeah.
PayPal.
Yeah,
PYPO.
So, but I think it's held up much better than a lot of stocks, believe me.
Well, better than Square.
Well, better than a lot.
Those were the two.
You know, don't forget PayPal has been another momentum stock, and a lot of momentum stocks have lost anywhere from 30 to 50% in this what zombie market or whatever you want to call it.
Well,
call it the zombie market, right?
And PayPal came up from 42 in 2017.
Yeah.
And then it's in a range. It's building what we call building rates. It is above the trend line.
And it's making higher bottoms, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
it's above the trend line.
It looks very interesting in here. So look into it, see if you like it, and use those parameters we just mentioned.
We're going to break.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
We're back. Willard Saperstein, Peter Greco, the Dollar Doctor, Saturday, December 29th, 2018. Last show of the year. We're live. Give us a ring at 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. Excuse me. Zapperson Asset Management clears its trades and runs its RIA through Brighton Securities of Rochester, member of FINRA, SIPC, MSRB, and an RIA. If you want to know more about us, go to our Enroll Manager 401ks and 403bs where they are. Go to our website, Zapperson.com, where we also offer free economic research every week from Stone and McCarthy, except for this week because they're off. And we also have the archive shows in the last couple of years, and you can leave a question at the chat box, which is on the drop-down from the Dollar Doctor for the show, and or, you know, we'll come in Saturday, even if you leave it on Thursday, and have a look and give you some answer on a stock you might want to buy. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy New Year to you both.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you. Hey, Willard, when's the last time you were down in Florida? Take a look outside. Why didn't you bring the good weather with you?
I tried to. We were there 2 weeks ago.
Oh, geez. Hey, guys, take a look at Arena Pharmaceutical, AUPH. What are your thoughts on that, if I could ask, please?
Peter, are you familiar with that?
I was a while ago. I forgot. This was a big. What are they into? I forgot some big.
They got a lupus drug in the works.
Is that it? Yeah.
Something else for, I believe it's dry eyes.
Well, in 2017, they were two and a quarter. They got up this year to $10. They've had a slow downtrend to 450, and they've closed at 683, you're still in a downtrend on the chart, and this is more of a concept stock, right?
I'm
assuming they have earnings, but not great ones.
But you know, you rebounded out of a potential support area.
Yeah, you did.
Okay. Big base that it had built for quite a while. And don't forget, biotech has been really slammed, all right? I mean, a lot of these biotech stocks have been hit hard, and this one, you know, got hit just like everything else, you know. So, but it did reverse, you know. It could have been a buy for an aggressive buy at what? When that $3 reversal?
450, and then it turned. Oh, you mean way down here?
No, over here, yeah.
Oh, it's 450. It reverses and goes to
five and a half. And,
what,
you know,
what caught my attention was the past week. Look at the volume on it.
I mean, this thing went up. Okay, nicely, you know, and that's interesting. So actually, I mean, if you were going to buy it, and it's a very speculative buy, you'd stop it or reevaluate it at what? You know, what's the price on that?
It's about 630.
680. Oh, where's the stop?
Okay. Willard just dozed off. That's
no,
okay,
I'm watching, you know, another screen. Okay. 4.25.
Yeah. So, you know, if it went to 4.25, then you'd have to think about it, you know, whether you should really be there or not. But it did give an aggressive buy, you know.
Uh-huh. Okay, gentlemen, I don't want to hold you up.
Well, that's okay.
And then Happy New Year.
Same
Happy New
to
Year
you,
again.
Ed. Thanks
for
the call.
Appreciate
Thanks
it.
For listening. Bye-bye. We're live. The Dollar Doctor is 803-1520 or 800-879-7541 Saturday, December 29th at 10:35. Good morning, Vic.
Good morning. Happy New Year, guys.
Same to you.
Same to you. Thank you.
Hey, I got a great book, Willard. You're a big reader. I got a book. You've probably read it already, though.
I got a pen.
All right. You'll love this book if you haven't read it. Fortune's Formula by Poundstone.
I have not read it.
Oh, geez. It talks about position sizing, okay? And what this fella does is he follows, if you ever heard of Edward Thorpe, Thorpe was the guy behind the MIT blackjack. When you're at a blackjack table, when the card count goes your way, when do you fire and how much do you fire?
Mm-hmm.
But he follows all the different MIT guys that were involved basically with Thorpe. So he vacillates between the gambling perspective and the stock market. And Thorpe actually did, I don't know if you knew this, but Thorpe actually did very well, was one of the first guys to really go big with hedge funds, and he traces back. It's a great book. It's a nice read. But Fortune's Formula by I believe his first name is William Poundstone, and it's if you go on Amazon, it was like five stars. Picked it up because it was 5-star rated, and I like what it was. And a little gambling scenario, and a little bit of stock market, and it's been worth every. It's a great read.
So we Dorsey Wright is one of the databases we use. They are very big on position sizing, and they've written several articles and given several examples, so we're familiar with it.
You ever heard of the Kelly formula?
Yeah, I did hear of it. Yeah. There's pro and con about all of that, but anyway, yeah, I've heard of it.
There's pro and con about everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You read it, and what you could add to your own armamentarium, you use it, and what you don't think you use, you don't use.
Anything. It's like you find what works for you, right?
Like I always say, you go to one seminar, if you can put down two things that you can use in your everyday life or
right.
your business, the seminar is worth it.
Exactly, yep.
A couple positions I took over the last 10 days. Excuse me. I sold the 38 EEM put. That's the first one. How does the chart look on that? In your opinion, your boxes.
We're looking now, and it was at 51. Got down to 38.5. Close to 39.25. You probably have a bottom at 38, but it's hard to tell because you've had no reversal on the boxes.
Yeah, I sold the 38s about 10 days ago, and it was a decent premium. And I'm not long overseas, so I thought I'll take it if it hits it. But I like the premium. The other one, I took a stab and I sold the GE 7s.
Really?
I sold the GE 7s. Second week of January. Was decent premium. I got it when GE was about 735. I sold the 7s on GE.
Closed at 750, right?
Right.
I'm flummoxed by GE.
Flummoxed.
And it did have a reversal on the quarter box chart, and then it reversed back again to zeros. I somehow think it goes lower.
What's the put you sold?
Seven. The second week in January.
Yeah, because you know tax law selling will be over, as Willard mentioned on Monday, right? So maybe
so you're probably all right.
So maybe you're all right. You know. Yep.
I've seen a couple of blurbs where Buffett and Berkshire may take a stab at it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've seen that. A couple different. Online and CNBC, they mention it. Anyways, guy, good show. Gay Willard, get that book. It's a great read. You'll like it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Happy
New
Year.
Thanks very much, Rick. We are live, The Dollar Doctors, Saturday, December 29th, 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541 at 1040. Good morning, Vic.
It's a double Vic show.
Double
again.
Vic.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Double teamed by Vic's today.
Right. Yeah.
Happy pre-New Year.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I recently bought some gold, GLD, and I bought Kirkland Lake shares.
That's actually the best gold stock out there.
So they say. Yeah. I do own that for one client, too.
Yeah, and
it's KL.
They make money. Yeah, they make money, which is... A little bit different than most. So I've got about 2% of my portfolio now with those positions. And I'm thinking, maybe going to 4 or 5. You think that that's a reasonable percentage in terms of gold in a person's portfolio?
Yeah, I think so. And especially with what's been going on, with the market and so forth, that, with the volatility, I think you're starting to see some interest pick up. And certainly with Bitcoin dead for now, all right?
Yeah.
I think that hurt the gold speculators and everything because it was more fun to play Bitcoin, But I think with all of that, and that's not going to hurt you, that percentage in gold,
Yeah, it's funny. About 5 or 6 years ago, I bought five gold coins. And now, after that period of time, I'm just now starting to see a profit. So, mm-hmm. You know, I know gold is really it's tough to hold on to gold, gold stock or gold coins. It seems like it's
it all depends. You know, like I say, if you'd bought it years ago, you'd be happy as anything. You know, many years ago. You know. Back in the 80s, where did it trade, you know?
In the 80s, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But GLD looks like it's got a good pattern at
yeah.
this point.
Yeah, I agree, really.
And KL has the best one. And
where did KL close, 26?
26. So.
Yeah.
26.
Yeah, and I got a technician who's very good. He's been, you know, that's what he does for 50 years now. And his target's about 30, 31 on it right now, so...
It's a nice chart.
Yeah, good.
And you know, GLD looks interesting here, no question about it.
And look at the miners too, GDX. You know.
And the upside for GLD, you think is what?
We'll have to go back to it real quick. Hang on. He's looking at the miners, you know. But anyway.
No.
Oh, you're looking at GLD?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it could, with the reversal, go back to the previous highs, which is what, like
128.
But, you know, if it broke out above that area.
Then you could see $1,500 an ounce.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so it looks kind of interesting in here.
Yeah, okay. And one stock that I have, I'm not sure of selling it or adding to my position. It's really held up very well. Mm-hmm. Broadcom, AVGO.
They always want to say BRCM.
Well, you know? I started to type in B.
Yeah, I know.
We're older.
Right.
We're older than Vic. Broadcom,
it's
held up beautifully, and it closed at 253. And you probably... If it keeps going in the 280 area.
And what's the price target on the chart?
344,
if you want to take that for what it's worth. But
there's a story you can buy also.
But you got the right idea. You know,
it pays for it, Peter.
Yeah, and plus you want to look at...
And it pays a nice dividend. Yeah.
Stocks that have held up well, you know, can be big, big runners, you know, if the market turns, you know. So.
Yeah, the only thing that concerns me a little bit is they're in the chip business and...
Yeah.
A lot of the chip companies have really taken a big hit, but this company, you know, I when I've followed it in the past couple of quarters, their forecasts have been very, very positive. But of course, that hasn't really helped all together with other companies. But
yeah, but as you mentioned, if you take a look at a lot of other chip stocks, they've been decimated. You know.
Yeah.
And this one, and you know, look at NVIDIA. What did it lose? 50% of its value.
Yeah,
or
and that's
like
a great
that,
company.
You know? So
yeah.
So I agree. I mean, this one for some reason is acting a lot better. You know.
Yeah. All right. Great. Thanks for your help.
Okay.
Thank you, Vic. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year to you too. Take care.
NVIDIA went from 292 to 126.
Even more than 50%, right? Unbelievable.
And it turned.
Yep.
Maybe.
Maybe.
It's a great company. Does all the smart chips, the smart cars and all that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, a lot of them got carried away because a lot of their business was really from people buying chips for faster and faster computers to play Bitcoin, you know, and do the Bitcoin mining.
Yeah.
And that died out, you know, because, we know what happened to Bitcoin. And that hurt a lot of these companies. And you always run into, people forget that you run into cycles where, you know, it's hard to get chips. So the companies buying the chips build up their inventory. And then there's a big inventory overhang and business slows down because the inventory has to be worked off. And that gives you opportunities, you know, because eventually the inventory does get worked off. Right now, give us a call. Phone lines are wide open, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. Or you can go to our website, saperston.com, SAPERSTON.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab. Live streaming comes up. Hit live streaming. Go to the bottom of the page. There's a chat box. You can type in a symbol. If you do put a symbol in there, let us know whether you're looking to buy, sell, hold, or you could ask a question. So you give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And is there anything in the chat box right now?
One of the people said to look at Canadian Tire, but I don't see that either.
No? Canadian Tire? Did they give you a symbol on it?
No. Yeah, it's ctc.to, but that's not.
Oh, it's a tour. Yeah, you're not going to come up with that, unfortunately. You know.
We'll try it here.
I'm going to try a different website, too. Yeah.
Should be. There it is. Yeah. I wonder if I can get a point and figure on that guy. Would that be too much?
No, you could do it. You go down there and you change it to point and figure.
If I could
change the chart.
Here, right there.
There you go. See that? You're becoming computer literate.
More or less. I just don't see the... I don't see point and figure offering on that guy.
Really? Okay.
Interesting. Unless it's dots. Nope. Candlesticks, that's what we're on. Anyway, closed at 211. Was a high of 260. And doesn't look terrific. If the
Where's the 200-day moving average on it there?
229.
229, and what to close at?
211.
Yeah, so it's under the 200-day, right? So
which
you
is
certainly
always a worrisome area.
Yeah, you'd like to get it back above the 200-day at least, you know. So, if it goes back above the 229 area and starts holding, could be interesting at that point. It looks like it's had recent support in what area, about
225.
225 or so, you know. What did it have, a big gap down or something?
Yep.
There? Yeah.
Yep.
It must have had news or something. So, yeah, you definitely want it back over to 200-day, you know, which is 229, you said. So that's what I would look at. You know, right now, give us a call. I think we have a caller on the line right now. And
well, are you having me look at the screen?
Yeah.
Thank you. Good morning, Ron.
Morning. A question about the wash sale. If you had a stock that you bought some time ago, and let's say it was $50 a share, and you've held on to it, and it's gone down. If you sell the part that when you bought it at $50 a share, and by the way, it was adding, it was compounding in there, so it was adding as it went down.
So you were in dividend reinvest. You were in dividend reinvestment.
Right. Can you sell off the portion that let's say was a $50 share part?
You certainly can sell off the initial purchase by coding that sell versus purchase.
Okay.
If you're trying to sell the fractional shares because they're at a loss too, it's somewhat difficult. If you're not going to sell the whole position, the other idea, you could just sell it and 31 days look to buy it back.
Oh, 31 days. Okay,
that's
the time limit in there, huh?
Yeah. Exactly. So if it's too difficult because of the fractional dividend reinvestment, but you have a total loss on the whole thing, sell the whole thing and then look for 31 days back. Or see if it's in an ETF, exchange traded fund. You know, if it's like retailing, there's a retailing exchange traded fund.
Right.
Maybe swap it for that if you think the market's going to rebound, or a different, if you're selling BP, buy Royal Dutch, you know, like that, or Exxon.
Okay, it's, okay.
You know, stuff
okay.
like that.
Yeah, I was watching one of the shows there, and they said if you owned ABBA and it's gone way down, you could sell it all and buy back AABA, which I guess is a holding company for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and AABA was at 260, and it came down to support in that 85 area.
Right.
And you could swap, but understand you're in a trading range on ABBA between 50 and 100, whatever. But
okay.
Maybe there's something else.
Yeah.
What did you say? ABBA you owned?
Yes, I owned ABBA, and I was, it's come way down.
Mm-hmm.
ABBA or ABBA?
ABBA.
AVAB. Is that
what is it?
AVAB.
Yes.
Okay, I got the wrong symbol. Hold on. AVAB.
So that's the one you own right now.
Right.
Okay.
And you could, they were suggesting selling it and buying AAVA, which apparently is a holding company for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the kind of strategy you use.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, if the government really wanted to be picky, I wouldn't worry about it. But you know, I didn't say that.
Generally, if there's a different CUSIP, and there would be, you're good.
Yeah, it should be good. You know. Yeah.
Okay. Good. So has Apple turned around yet, or is it still?
good luck. I don't know.
I'm going to look. I thought it did. At least temporarily, it is a much loved company. Turned around at 148 and closed at 156. And if you hit the bottom at the 148, you've got a pretty good chance of 194.
Okay.
Now, if it got below that last bottom at 148, so say 146 on a point and figure chart, you would want to, as Peter would say, reevaluate maybe.
Or,
either sell it or sell half, right. or you know, be braced for the next support area is this 114, 116.
Oh.
if it breaks the 148.
Right.
You see. So if right now, if you own it, you hold it. That's
right. Okay.
But if it starts to go down again in that area, then you... Maybe you say, okay, I'll sell half my position. You know, take a little action.
Okay. Well, thank you. Enjoy your show every week. So
I appreciate it very
Thanks
much.
For the
we
call.
Appreciate
we,
the call.
We appreciate it. Have a good New
and
Year.
And have
Ron.
A good New Year there.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care.
You are listening to Willard Saperston, Peter Greco, the Dollar Doctors. We have 10 minutes left for a live Saturday, December 29th, 2018 on ESPN 1520, 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. We're going to check the chat room. And someone said, January 2, is it time to over or underweight stocks? From Vero Beach.
Overweight or underweight?
Yeah.
You know, that's a hard question in terms of you don't know the individual person, you know, and their risk tolerance and so forth, you know. All you can say right now is several indicators have hit major bottoming territory, you know, where the market has tended to make a major bottom, okay? But they can go lower, you know, that's the problem. But you're in that area. And I was telling Willard before the show, I had saw this technician, and it's interesting. Anybody who likes to do moving averages, take the S&P or take the Dow, even the NASDAQ, and run a weekly chart and run the 80-week and the 160-week, all right? And I was trying to pull this up before I came in, but I couldn't find it. But,
I think I can do it on Market Smith.
But no, not that. But what I'm saying, how the guy explained it, you know, and he said that, you know, once you break the 80 week, you usually go down to the 160 week, which we just did. All right, we broke through the 80, came down to the 160. He said several markets have bottomed. You know, and it's not exact. You know, in terms of several markets have bottomed in the area of the 160, but markets that have broken through the 160 might rally back to the 80, or even just retest the 160, and it gets worse. All right. Interestingly enough, I was looking at all the averages this morning, the NASDAQ, the S&P, and the Dow, and they all stopped at their 160-week moving averages, okay?
So far,
you know. So, you know, it is a potential, it's only potential bottom area, you know, in the market. And I don't know if I had overweight or underweight, but I think there's been, in terms of, as a matter of fact, I saw somebody said, look, if you've been comfortable being 70-30 and you're a little worried, drop to 60-40, you know, that type of
which
thing.
Which we've,
you know,
done on,
yeah,
some of our managers.
Exactly. Yeah. So we've pulled back a little right now. And, you know, and I don't tend to just jump in. You know, you want to see what the mood of the market is after the tax loss selling's over with, you know. And, you know,
so
you get,
Monday's going to be a...
Yeah,
indicative day.
Somewhat, you know, and in terms of, you know, you want to give the market a few days in January And then you can ask that question again and say, okay, now after you've looked at the first week or so in January, what do you think? You know, and you know, certainly some people who have a lot of cash or have a you know, higher risk tolerance or something could be nibbling in here. There's no question, and actually adding. You know,
and there are a lot of stocks you could buy, and yeah. It was very clear that 6 to 10% stop.
Exactly.
Under the last, there are a lot of charts like that.
Yeah.
To give you ideas.
I mean, it's potentially created a lot of opportunity, you know, in a potential bottoming area in the market. And so depending on how you feel, what you're comfortable with, how much you're invested in the market, if you are underinvested in the market and, you know, you're lucky and you ended up with a lot of cash.
Well, Howard Ewart said always have half your money in cash.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when these things happen,
you take advantage
like a kid in a candy store.
So it's certainly time to have, you know, be building a watch list of some good stocks that got hit, you know, and several that probably unjustifiably, but they got hit in the whole downturn, you know.
So you want your players on the bench.
Yeah.
As
so
they say.
So let's see
what's your lineup.
Yeah, let's see what the, you know, beginning of the year brings, and I think we can come up with a further opinion on you know, where you should be right now. So
IBD today, the weekend edition, what to expect for 2019.
And what'd they say?
I only read the headline. I only bought the paper 10 minutes before the show. So Call me Monday, I'll tell you.
Anyway, we got to end the show. We're at the end.
You've been listening to Willard Saperston, Peter Greco. The Dollar Detectors are live every Saturday between 10 and 11. We broadcast 12 to 1 Saturday nights.
And that's it.
And on our website, saperston.com, we are archived. As we always say, keep a little powder dry and good night and good luck.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperston and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperston Asset Management. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperston Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.